All right, this is a little bit, this is Melissa Levin wanted us to announce small memorial for her mother, Terry Leslie. We say on Sunday she'd passed away. Friday at 11 a.m. at the Eagle Lake Cemetery. Okay, Friday, 11 a.m. I started to say that's a singing family. They got their own family choir. I'm joking with them a little bit. They do a good job for us. That is the whole family there. I don't know. Was he up there? They don't let him sing with them. All right. All right. We appreciate them very much. Open your Bibles tonight as we get ready for the Lord's Supper. I'd like for you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to abbreviate some things for time's sake. But a lot of folks have a lot of questions, don't know a lot about what the Lord's Supper is. We'll talk about it, try to answer a few things very quickly tonight. There's two ordinances given to the local church. You find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you find verse 1 and 2, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth because they've been abusing, doing some wrong things concerning the Lord's Supper. It was a church that had a lot of errors in it. A lot of folks build doctrine on what was written to the church at Corinth. Paul wrote to correct the very things that some of them seem to major on and don't understand how to rightly divide the word of God. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ, also am of Christ. Now I praise ye, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances." Now notice, got an S on it, two of them, plural. "Keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The ordinances are two. One is the baptism, following salvation. The other one is keeping the Lord's Supper. So as we move into chapter 11, I'm going to have to cough at you some tonight. It's not COVID. If it is, I've had it since I was 4 years old. All right. Anyway, starting down at about verse 19, Paul says, "For there must be also heresies among you." Now, he'd received a letter from the house of Chloe, some of the church members, telling Paul about some of the wrong things they were doing. So Paul was writing to correct these things, and so he refers to them as heresies. And that he says that they may be, which are approved, may be made manifest among you. Then here we start on the Lord's Supper. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. Look at it in verse 20. "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, it's okay. Some churches may want to do it every week, but you're not commanded to. It says here, every time you come together is not to eat the Lord's Supper. We make it a little bit rarer than some, about three or four times a year, and we want it to be special. Don't it just become a common thing? And because it is special, as we'll see, it commemorates the Lord's death till he comes. And so here he tells the church, when you come together, not necessarily every time to eat the Lord's Supper. Look at it, verse 21. "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken." Now, what were they doing? Some of them were, it was more or less everybody packing a lunch and calling it the Lord's Supper. And one family was saying, "Look what we got. We're better off than you." And it was making a mockery out of the Lord's Supper. So Paul is correcting that. I've had the kids in particular, and a lot of folks say, "Why do we take just a little bit of bread? Why do we take just a little bit of the grape juice?" We're not taking it to satisfy an appetite. We're taking it as being symbolic of what the Lord did for us. So that's the difference. Sometime when you announce, like announce on Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. I've had kids say, "Oh boy, we're going to eat at church." Now, we laugh about that, but we need to go by what the Word of God says. And Paul was correct in the right way to do it against the wrong way that some of them had been doing. So he says that in verse 21. "For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in?" He says, as far as your appetite goes, eat supper at home. "What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not?" You can kind of get the drift of what was going on. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord. Now he starts talking about the right way. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, sometimes there's a discussion. Well, shouldn't we have it on Sunday? You can have it on Sunday. You can have it at other times. Probably, it says here, when the Lord instituted, it was the same night he was betrayed. That certainly wasn't Sunday, the first day of the week of the resurrection. And so, the same night, probably. And it's hard to coordinate the days between here in Israel or the what we call the Holy Land, but it was probably a Wednesday night when he had actually instituted the Lord's Supper. That doesn't matter that much, but don't hold anybody. Say, well, you got to have it on Sunday. No, it does not say that. Acts chapter 20 says they did break bread on Sunday night, but here he's telling us that the same night he was betrayed. So we know that was not Sunday night. So it don't matter on the nighttime thing, but do it right. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now let's be wise about this. He didn't break off a finger and give it to him. Now I'm trying to be facetious to get you to understand. Symbolic. The bread is representing his body. It was not his body. He was in his body at that time. Same thing with the juice and the blood. He didn't bleed himself in the cup. So we got to be careful about even big religions sometimes get things so wrong because they just don't plain believe and read the Word of God as it plainly says. So he said, I've received of the Lord. So he's talking about the Lord Jesus. When he had given thanks, he brake it, verse 24, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me. So it's a memorial. It's a memorial. And in the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Didn't say how often, but when you do, he says, in remembrance of me. So it's a memorial. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, now watch this, this is important, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The memorial is not only looking back on what he did, but the fact he's coming again. And sometimes that's kind of missed a little bit. You show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, and this is important, unworthily. Now, all are sinners, and we can all be saved through the blood of Jesus, but he's talking about your conduct after you're saved. You're living for the Lord, or you're living in some gross sin and trying to hide it from God. I'd just give you some good advice based on these scriptures. If you're doing that, I wouldn't take the Lord's Supper. Look what the next verses say. You'll be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. What was he saying to the church at Corinth? Sickly among you and many sleep. Now that's a term for believers. Death, sleep for the believers. What was he saying? He was saying some of you brought God's judgment on you for the way you've been into this heresy and abuse of the Lord's Supper. I wouldn't take a chance if, just get where you understand it. You're living in adultery tonight, you ought to be scared to take the Lord's Supper. And a lot of other things we might could name. But don't eat and drink damnation to yourself. It could cause you to become under God's judgment. Then God is so good. Look at it, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He lets us be judge and jury. You judge yourself. That's why the scripture tells us to let a man examine himself. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Now, here's what you're going to notice tonight as we go through the Lord's Supper ceremony. We'll try to eat the bread at the same time. We'll tarry one for another. We'll try to drink of the cup at the same time. We'll tarry for one another. And we're not wanting to come together to condemnation, but in memorial of what the Lord done for us and the fact he's coming back. And it ought to be a time we search our hearts and say, Lord, forgive me this, that, and the other, and help me do better. Have that kind of clean confession before the Lord. So it is a time of meditation and prayer that we ought to kind of self-examine. And like I say again, God allows us to kind of be judging and jury and examine ourselves. And again, we don't have it real often here, but we recommend that you look in your heart deep, you pray about it, and it is important. You got to remember something, folks. We take it tonight in great freedom so far in America. Things are changing awful fast, but really bad. But our forefathers many times had to hide in caves to do what we're doing tonight. They were in great danger and had to slip around to do what we can do openly, like being baptized or taking the Lord's Supper. I remember a number of years ago, I was over in Russia back about the time that they claimed communism was falling, and it was undergoing some transition, no doubt. Some begin to get a few freedoms they didn't have before. It was cold. I mean, really cold. Something we Floridians wouldn't even recognize hardly. But the restrictions had been let up to where the church, we call them the underground church, Baptist church over there, could publicly be baptized. Now, you got to understand something. That was a big thing to them. They didn't have to hide to do it. So we went right down on the edge of the city of Moscow in the wintertime, and where the water was moving a little bit, the rest of it was ice. And they kind of chipped out the ice around the edge. And we Florida preachers stood there and like this froze to death watching a half a dozen of them get baptized in that icy water. Now, I tell you what, it shamed us a little bit. I thought, they'll do this under these conditions, and they were so thankful that they could do it without authorities or police or soldiers coming to mess them up. We take it for granted tonight. Don't do that. It's something special. It is special to the Lord, and it ought to be special to us. And think on it what God did for us. What God did for us. Jesus Christ was God incarnate, dying on the cross, taking the place of the sinner, shedding his blood that we can have forgiveness and a home in heaven. So tonight is special. I'm going to ask the men, deacons, and some of the staff to come and get in position here that we can go ahead and go through the ceremony of the Lord's Supper. It is symbolic, it is a memorial, but it is very, very real and very important. Can you get this microphone
Vic just told me that one of our deacons, Brother Mike Willis, is homesick, so you add him to your prayer list tonight, please. So we are having some of the staff substitute for some of the deacons. I believe Brother Roberts is missing also. I'm going to open my Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Paul referred that he had it from the Lord on the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper. So now what we'll do in Matthew 26, we'll read the actual account of the Lord establishing and setting up the Lord's Supper. Chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." I'm going to ask Brother Grafton, if you would, to come on to the microphone and ask the blessing now on the bread.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight for the opportunity, the privilege we have of being in this service where we can commemorate your death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, through that death, burial, and resurrection, you fulfilled God's plan to redeem the lost souls of mankind. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask your blessings now on the bread representing your broken and bruised body. And Lord, as we partake, let us be reminded, Lord, of your promise of a soon return. And we ask that this service might glorify and that you might be honored through it. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." All right. I'm going to ask Brother Smith if he would come on and ask the blessing on the cup.
Dear Lord, we thank you for giving your life to give us eternal life. Lord, bless this juice we are about to partake in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The next verse there, verse 30, tells us that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We can't go out in the Mount of Olives, but we sang a hymn, so let's stand. Brother Bert, would you lead us in a verse of amazing grace? We won't even need a book for that. And thank the Lord for that grace. Amen.
Just the first verse, amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Okay, you might help the kids with the cup. You can put them in the pew. Most of you know that already. And we praise God for what we've celebrated tonight and what it means and what it symbolizes. And praise God for His grace. Amen.